This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
I don't even know. Like, I feel like you should. They should pay you. Like, how you have to sit there and watch this team week after week after week after week. It's unfair.
Yeah, it's not easy.
It's terrible. I mean,
it's not easy. No, it's awful. No, I mean, the only saving grace yesterday was going to be, you know, watching Sam Darnold play, and that wasn't. I mean, once you got past that first drive, Perriman makes a nice catch, and, I mean, that was it. That was all she wrote. I mean, really, you can count the number of players on one hand that you could actually see having a future with the Jets.
Yeah.
Denzel Mims is one of them.
You got Mims. You got Quinnen Williams.
Yep. Becton.
Becton. We'll see
probably
what happens.
Frank Gore.
Stop.
See why?
Stop.
It's bad, man. And then on top of it, you look like a complete clown show after the game where your head coach is just going to sit there and lie to everyone's face that he wasn't calling plays.
But why? So I guess the rationale behind that, which is ridiculous, but I guess is because it was so bad he doesn't want to take the blame that it was him. Is that the reason?
It doesn't matter, Dave. Nobody's going to let him in their building in the NFL after this year. Ain't nobody going to allow Adam Gase to be on staff as a coordinator on their team? Would you?
No.
After seeing you've seen the last couple of years?
No, I don't think I don't know that he ever gets a job as anything more than the. I don't even think he gets a job as a coordinator again.
Like, yeah,
maybe
that's
he'll
not
be a
gonna,
position coach.
Dave, I don't know if you can let him back in the building, period, even as a position coach.
But what's
do
the
you want
rationale
him
behind
your
him doing this?
Do you want Adam Gase coaching your quarterback?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not. But what I don't understand is, Rick, why is he doing? Why is he pretending that he's not calling the plays?
I have no idea. I have no idea why he would be. I mean, just it again. I guess it's his, you know, part of his MO where he just refuses to take blame for anything. I guess this is part of it. To try to get away from the stink that is this team.
But think about this for a second. You're a player on the team. He's calling the plays. Now you meet the media and you say you weren't calling the plays. You look ridiculous.
Now, wonder Sam Darnold is confused. We don't know who's calling the plays, whether it's Dow Loggins or Adam Gase. How's a player, especially your quarterback, supposed to function under those circumstances? It's not going to happen. Now, listen, the interceptions, that's on Sam Darnold. Those were terrible decisions, trying to do way too much. Like, those are throws that he can't make. But, I mean, just overall, the reason why he hadn't developed the way that we thought he would is just because there's been so much dysfunction around him the last couple of years. Now, he's not doing himself any favors with the bonehead plays, but just with the infrastructure around him, there was no way that Sam Darnold was going to have a chance to realize his full potential. Not with this regime. It wasn't going to happen.
No, there's been no consistency. I mean, it's you're in your second system, if you can even call it a system. I mean, it's really a travesty. I mean, this is the first time he's actually had all three of his wide receivers healthy. He barely had a chance to practice them because he's been hurt. I mean, the whole thing from the start for him has been bad.
It's a dumpster fire.
I think it's worse at this point than a dumpster. I couldn't even imagine being inside of that locker room.
And you got another five games?
Could you imagine, though, in all honesty? Like, and Rich Cimini, I give him credit, too, because he was paying attention. He's the one asking the questions. It was actually reported before the game that Gase was going to take over play-calling duties. I said it last week. It looked like Adam Gase was the one calling the plays. Everyone inside of that locker room knows who's calling the plays. Adam Gase was calling the plays. So if you're on the offensive side of the ball, just forget the offensive side, the entire team. And then, because you have friends and family that watch the postgame and everything else, someone's sending you that video of Adam Gase lying to the media, there's no chance. You can't take him serious as your coach.
But why would you lie? Like, if the players know that you're calling the plays, now you come out in front of the media, how can they believe anything you say ever?
They won't, and I don't think they do.
I mean, they must have such disrespect for this guy.
Of course they do, Dave, especially how he threw them under the bus earlier this season, right? Like, remember we had the whole question about the play calls? It's not a matter of the play calls. We call the plays to work. It's the execution. And then all the players saying that they've got to be better. Adam Gase talking about how everybody in the organization has got to be better in terms of executing except for him because the play calls are just fine. Like, if you're a guy in the Jets locker room, you know exactly what Adam Gase is all about now. Like, the fact that he's calling plays and trying to put it on Dow Loggins when you as a player know that he's the one that's responsible for sending in the play, like, that's just one of those – that's just another thing to add on to – why you don't believe in this head coach and why this team is 0-11.
It's bad. It's really bad. Here's a little back and forth after the game. Adam Gase asked about – go ahead.
No, before you get to the clip. The Jets have 15 touchdowns the entire season. 15.
The Chiefs had 15 in the first half yesterday.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's a different game. You're watching a different game.
In 11 games.
You're watching a different game is what you're watching. Like, that doesn't look like NFL football that you watch. That's not an NFL
offense.
Well,
it's not. I mean, it's hard to envision they won't go 0-16.
Chris, let me ask you a question.
Hmm.
What would the reason be that an offense uses motion?
To be able to figure out exactly what the defense is doing from a coverage standpoint and to gain a leverage advantage. Those would be the two reasons why you use motion. To help your quarterback figure out whether it's man or zone on the back end, and then to be able to get a leverage advantage on the defense.
Which would seem like a good idea for a young, struggling quarterback, no?
Yes.
Yeah, and yet we don't. We barely ever do it. Just line up. Line up and run it.
He called it, not me.
Dowell called it.
Yeah, wasn't me. I didn't do anything. Here's the back and forth after the game. Adam Gase asked about taking back play calling duties.
Adam, why did you take over the play calling?
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last four games.
We were watching Dowell for the whole game. He wasn't doing anything. I mean, he was just standing there.
He tells me it's not hard. This is not hard. We go through it. The drive before. Hey, these are the three plays. I do the third downs.
So what happens after the three plays when you have a series? Because we were watching one where Dow was talking to Frank Pollock. He wasn't calling the plays. You were.
What part of the game was it?
I want to say that was the third.
Yeah, when we got down, then I was trying to do some of the two-minute stuff.
What is happening?
Dan pinned him up against the wall, didn't he, Dave?
This is ridiculous.
That line of question pinned him in.
We were watching Loggins. He did nothing. Well, when exactly were you watching him? The whole game. Well, he calls three, and then I take. I mean, what is happening? You can't even have a press conference appropriately.
I don't understand. Though I'm just trying to figure out Adam Gase's logic here. So Dow Loggins has three plays, and you're the one that picks between the three plays. You run the 2 minute by yourself. Like I mean, at what point do you say that that's you calling the plays?
Right.
It's really not Dow Loggins calling the plays. If the offensive coordinator says, hey, here's a play sheet, all the plays that I like, you figure out how we're going to call them, how we're going to sequence them, that's Adam Gase calling the plays, not Dow Loggins.
This is unbelievable.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It makes no sense.
You sound
once he got down.
It's bad enough you're winless. You sound like a Mickey Mouse organization right now.
No, that's what you are. I mean, that's exactly what you are.
Don't disrespect Mickey Mouse like that.
Yeah, you're
point.
Right.
Mickey Mouse is much more successful. I apologize. That's a disservice to Mickey Mouse. But I mean, what he just explained, when was it? Well, when we were down. You're down the whole game. You scored 3 points. You were down the entire game. You call plays on third down. I mean, so when aren't you calling plays then? You pretty much described the entire game you called. And not to mention the fact that going into the game, Samini and everyone else was focused on one thing, and that was, is Dowell Loggins calling play? You could tell he wasn't. His mouth wasn't moving. He wasn't doing anything. He didn't even have a play sheet.
He was in ventriloquist class all week, so you couldn't tell.
It's easy. Well, obviously, it's not that easy, because if it was that easy, you'd actually score points.
It's easy.
But you know what, though, Rico? Remember back when the conversation about whether or not Adam Gase should give up play calling duty started? Remember what everybody on the staff said? You know what? We all talked about it, and we all think that Adam Gase should keep the play calling duties. He's the best person for it. This is exactly what they were trying to avoid. This situation right here, where Adam Gase could try to find a way to weasel out of it and blame somebody else for the ineptitude of that offense. Because right now, they're out of excuses. There is no excuse. Sam had his full complement of weapons. And he's coming back now. Granted, he hadn't played in 28 days, but he's coming back with all of his receivers. And you were only able to muster 3 points, especially when the defense did what it did and forcing those fumbles in the third quarter and giving you the ball deep into plus territory. You can only muster 3 points against the Miami Dolphins.
That was on the opening drive. You scored the 3 points in the opening drive, and that was it.
That's crazy.
It's in two games. You had 3 points against the Dolphins.
Outscored 44-3 by the Dolphins this season.
Against your head coach's former team.
Yep.
Which if
I'm
the
sure
team actually liked
they
didn't
it.
Even, and here's the thing, Rick. Doesn't even feel like the Dolphins really showed up yesterday.
I didn't think the Dolphins played all that well.
I mean, Devontae Parker played well, but outside of that, I mean, is there a lot of guys that you could like – Devontae Parker and Xavier Howard. Outside of those guys, did anybody have a particularly great game for the Dolphins?
No. No, I mean no.
Maybe the kicker Jason Sanders, if you want to throw him in there too. I mean, they just kind of showed up and rolled their helmet out there, and guess what? It was good enough. Like the way that that game was going and the Jets hanging around and the defense making plays in the second half, you actually had a chance in that game. You actually had a shot, and you couldn't pull it off.
I mean, they scored
terrible.
Dave, you're at home. I mean, you scored as many points as the Denver Broncos did. And they were playing with a guy who's
they tried to have
he's a practice
coach.
Squad wide receiver.
Yes, they tried to have a coach quarterback the team.
That's crazy, wasn't it, Dave?
Multiple coaches. They were told by the league you're not allowed to do this.
That's a rule, yeah. But I mean,
you had the third pick in the draft, and you couldn't score more points than they did.
No. And apparently all you need, I mean, the secondary is bad. I mean, the Jets secondary is no good. It is not good at all. I mean, I thought they were going to a reprieve from not having to go against Keenan Allen. Wrong. Devontae Parker showed up. It's bad. I don't see how, honest to God, unless
COVID, it's getting worse.
Unless COVID hits one of these teams that they have left on their schedule and they lose, I mean, just.
Quick question. How is that rule to catch by Devontae Parker in the second quarter?
Awful call. Thank you. Awful call. Please.
How is that even possible?
Because it's the Jets.
Is that
call.
What it is? Oh, we'll give it to him.
That too.
You might as well give it to him. It's not going to matter for the Jets. We're actually doing them a favor by making sure that there's no chance they win this game.
This is your best interest in the long term. Yeah. We'll call this a catch.
But it's just, I mean, it's bad football, man. I mean, taking sacks on first down, it's just.
They are terrible. They
don't do anything well, really. Quinton Williams had a good game.
They are terrible. They had their chance. Listen, they should have beaten New England. Then they didn't. And I don't know that they get another chance to win a game.
New England, Denver, those were the two winnable games for the Jets this year?
Yeah.
And you missed a 29-yard field goal. You can't even make a chip shot field goal.
Oh, that was unbelievable.
Oh, Castillo,
huh?
At the end of the first half?
Oh, my God almighty.
I mean, that's anybody would have made that field goal. It's a gimme.
I mean,
those
are
the types of
say?
Things that happen when you're a bad team, though, Rico. You know that. When you're a bad team, those types of things happen. When it rains, it pours. The Jets can't get out of their own way right now.
It's pouring. I mean,
yeah, this is monsoonish.
Yeah,
is not,
you better get multiple umbrellas. It is really
get
coming
a sun pump. Get a sun
sideways.
Pump.
Yeah, Ira in Staten Island. Ira, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick and Chris. I'll tell you, it's mind numbing. I mean, that whole play call, the interview with Samini afterwards, everything. It's just this is where they played hard for him up until last week. After that press conference yesterday, these players are going to mail it in. There's going to be no respect there. You're going to see blowout after blowout for the rest of the year. And you know what? For Donald, his last five games, one touchdown, seven interceptions, the excuse is over. You know, he had his full complementary of receivers yesterday. He had the all-pro running back, Frank Gore. I give him all the respect in the world. He's got the biggest heart on that team. It's just, Chris, you're right. The Dolphins, they just showed up. I thought if Tua started that game, it just would have had a chance. They even had a chance with Fitzpatrick. Even though the numbers weren't good, the defense kept them in the game. But to create two turnovers on the Dolphins' side of the field, forget about scoring, not even to get a first down. And then Donald took a bad sack on one of those possessions. It's just, it's unbelievable. But the message I have for Chris Johnson is stay the course. Don't do what the Lions did. Don't do what the Jaguars did. Just stay the course to make sure we finish this off the right way so we can restart and hit the restart button next year with a quarterback and a head coach. Because this is the worst I've ever seen. I go back as young as I remember as following football, I guess about 62 or 63. This is the worst by far. Cotite is so much far superior. As bad as they were in Burn 15, at least, even though they got blown out a couple of times, they scored points, and they were competitive in a lot of games. This is just an outright joke.
And Ira, are you now rooting against the Jets?
In my heart, no, but in my mind, yes. I'd rather them go 0-16. And as much as I hate to see it, I can't go through all this punishment all year watching this team and then end up with the third pick. I can't do it. I got to get the first prize. I got to finish with 0-16 and get that first pick after enduring what we've watched all these weeks.
Ira, what do you mean by the Jets staying the course? What are you talking
about?
Don't fire
Gase.
About the coaching situation?
Don't fire Gase is what I mean.
What difference does it make now if they fire Gase or if they keep Gase? What difference does it make? His team ain't going to win a game.
But don't even mess around, though. Don't even mess around. Status quo.
And gets these players fired up, and they win a game.
They're not going to win a game, Ira. They're not going to win a game. The rest of the teams that they play are in playoff contention. They're not going to win a game.
My biggest concern is the end of the year. If the Pats have nothing
New England,
on the line,
I know. They'll roll out the janitor to play quarterback.
It's so jet-like. It would be unbelievable. The Patriots have to stay in contention for last week.
I don't know. Could you imagine?
I don't even know if you could beat the Patriots that they were trying to lose in Week 17.
That's what I'm saying. But the other part of that is, wouldn't you want to get a start on the coaching search?
No.
Wouldn't you want to do that?
You know they've done that. Come on. You know they have.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's not tiptoeing around it and just go ahead and officially starting the search. To me, that makes the most sense. Like, I'm not saying you got to do it today or tomorrow. What I'm saying is, at some point before Week 17, you should probably consider firing Gase just so you can gather as much information as you possibly can from all the prospective candidates that you want to interview. Because it's going to happen fast. The coaching carousel is going to happen fast. It always does.
And there's not going to be that many jobs open. Let's be honest. What are we talking, four or five teams maybe? That's it.
Well, you got Houston.
You got Detroit, Houston, Jacksonville, Detroit, Atlanta.
The Chargers.
The Chargers are probably going to be open.
There'll be some attractive jobs.
You got some jobs that are going to be open, Ira.
Chargers job is very attractive.
Yeah. You got a few jobs that are going to be open.
All I could say is just hopefully Chris Johnson lets Joe Douglas take over this organization, because if not, we're just going to keep on doing the hamster and the wheel going round and round and round.
Tampa's job may be open if this continues, too.
Chicago?
Yeah, not good. Thanks for the call.
Chicago?
Ira.
Chicago, that's
yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're probably talking about 6 or 7 jobs. It's always around 6 or 7 jobs. It's always like that. So, I mean, there will be jobs that are out there, and there are going to be a couple of jobs that are probably going to be more attractive than the Jets. So, to me, I wouldn't mess around with it. I would try to gather as much information as you possibly could, because let's face it, you're probably talking about one of the biggest decisions this franchise has made in the last 30, 40 years.
No, it's a huge decision. But Chris, and you know this better than most, you can't start the process even if he's employed by your organization. Like, you can't go through back channels and start to see who's available and would want the job.
I mean, you can do it that way, Dave, but I mean, I don't even understand why you would want to do it that way. Like, why even take that approach? What is there to be gained by taking it that way versus having a very public and a very open search?
I guess the concern is
to Ira's point, because this is the truth. There are some people that believe, as bad as we think this team is that, God forbid, they do make a change and guys now actually give a legitimate effort, that they could accidentally win a game, which is exactly what they don't want.
They're not going to accidentally win a game, man.
I'm just telling you. I'm telling you. There are people inside that building that think that.
Okay.
And they don't want to risk it. Because to Ira's point, this is like if your girl all of a sudden talked you into, like, you know, putting a ball gag in your mouth and melting wax on you.
Whoa.
And then you have to, like, you suffer.
Just like that, yes.
Whoa. Well, no, you suffer all this pain, and then you're like, okay, then now it's my turn to do what I want. She's like, no, that's it. That's all we're doing. No, that's not all we're doing. I'm not going to sit here and watch 17 weeks of awful football and not get the first overall pick. That's the only thing that makes this worth it. It's the only
reason. So
you
got Raiders this week coming off a 40-point loss. Then you go to Seattle, where you get crushed. You go to the Rams, you'll get destroyed. You host the Browns, and you go to New England.
I don't love their chances.
I will tell you, though, that New England game would scare me. Because if Belichick is so diabolical, if they have nothing to play for.
But if the Patriots keep going down this road, they're going to be in it in Week 17.
Right. If you're a Jets fan, you should hope that they have some semblance of a chance.
I mean, the Patriots are going to L.A. to play the Chargers this weekend. They've got the Rams out there as well, the Dolphins, the Bills. It's not inconceivable that the Patriots can go on a little bit of a run here. It's not.
By the way, Rick, did you hear what Jim Nantz said yesterday?
Yeah, I heard it. AFC's loaded. Yeah, I heard it.
It was beautiful.
Listen, the AFC could be loaded, but the way that the Kansas City Chiefs look, I don't think it matters.
It doesn't seem to, huh?
That team is sick.
Oh, my God.
That offense is ridiculous.
It's probably not a good idea to play man coverage with no safety over the top if you're Todd Bowles.
Yeah, you probably don't want to do that. I would
probably not. And you don't want to have a defense where you're not rerouting receivers at the line of scrimmage. That's not a good idea against the Chiefs.
That offense is sensational. And they don't even run the football. So the running game is almost non-existent.
Who cares? They don't have to. When you got Pat Mahomes back there, you don't have to.
Think about how unusual it is that they're one-dimensional and you still can't even come close to stopping them.
Why would you want to take the ball out of Pat Mahomes' hands and give it to the runner? Like, why would you want to do that? If I was an offensive coordinator, I would never want to take the ball out of his hands.
No. And they're running plays that if any other team ran them, you'd be like, what are they doing? Like that last play?
That was disrespectful. That was disrespectful that they did on the goal line with that flea flicker with Pat Mahomes going in motion and then flipping it to Travis Kelce. That's disrespectful. That's when you know that this team doesn't think there's any chance in hell you have of beating them.
Because there is none. I mean, that if the Giants would have run the same play on 3rd and 9, where they roll their quarterback left and he throws, you know, towards the sideline, when the other team has no timeouts, you'd have gone crazy. But he easily completes it. Tyreek Hill goes down. End of the game. They're just at a different level than everybody
else. They got
a
different gear than everybody else.
Yeah.
They just do.
Completely different. 800-919-3776. Don't miss Disney's new movie, Safety, inspired by a true story of Clemson football safety. Oh, God.
Yes. Come on, do it.
Have you seen this name?
Sound it out.
Ray McElrathby. All right, there you have it. Start streaming exclusively on Disney Plus. You can do that on December 11th, the old Ray McElrathby story. Today on ESPN Daily, Sunday slate of games range from completely normal to increasingly bizarre. Bill Barnwell breaks down everything we saw on Sunday and how the league is grappling with its biggest bout of COVID chaos. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. We have callers lined up. Let's go to them. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Chris and Bethpage. Chris, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys, three quick points before I get to my main point, which is, first of all, Dave, always love the best half hour of the whole week is your Stump Rothenberg, which I always
participate in. Oh, here we go.
No, thank you, Chris. Continue. Nope. That point one, that's very valid and very accurate.
Number two, can't believe I heard the phrase ball gagging and pint of grease or whatever Rick said on the radio. Cannot believe I heard that. And a shout-out to Chris Canty, because I'm a huge Giant fan, as big as Dave is, and Chris, I watch all the highlights, and I love about that team you were on, and, I just much appreciation for what you did for my Giants.
My
well, anyhow, those three things. Okay, now, guys, one thing you haven't mentioned, and I'm surprised, is, you know, the best person in the Giant organization is that I've seen the turnaround is Patrick Graham. This guy is a tremendous defensive coordinator, and I'm worried we're going to end up losing this guy. He is what he's done to that defense. And, you know, it doesn't matter who comes in and contributes. He has, whether it's a scheme and they just tackle much better, that's the biggest difference I've noticed over this Giant team from the last, like, basically 7 years, is this guy is tremendous. And I just want to know, well, you know, what's your feeling? Are we going to eventually lose this guy? Because he's the most important guy in our whole organization. The turnaround in defense has been tremendous. So I just want to know how you feel about Patrick Graham.
I think he's done a great job. And I don't know if I would say he's the most important person, but I would probably say he's third or fourth on that list. I mean, Joe Judge, your head coach, Daniel Jones, your quarterback, and then it's the toss-up between Dave Gettleman, the GM, and Patrick Graham, just based on the job that he's done.
He's done a great job.
You're talking about a top-10 defense when we all thought that they would be bottom half of the league. Like, I mean, he's done a great job. I mean, there's no dominant edge pass rusher to speak of, yet they find a way to be able to consistently manufacture pressure. There's a lot of ball disruption. They give effort every single time out. He's done a phenomenal job. And, you know, I actually thought about asking Jordan Renan about whether or not Patrick Graham would be a name that's involved in the coaching search just because he's done a great job, but it just feels like it's a little too soon to start putting him on that level. Like, there needs to be more of a track record, and the reality is the Giants are a 4-7 team going into December. So I'm not sure if he's done enough to make an argument that he should be a head coach in 2021, but if he continues to do this kind of job with this defense, he'll be a head coach sooner rather than later.
Yeah, if he has and I agree with you, I don't think he leaves after this year, but if he can duplicate next year what he's done this year, I think the team start to really take notice and that he's probably not here long term.
You got to give the players some credit, too. I mean, I think the addition of Logan Ryan and Blake Martinez have been huge additions.
Well, you're giving Dave Gettleman credit. I see you, Rico, giving Dave Gettleman credit.
Yes.
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing.
But what, how is it that no team went after Logan Ryan at all?
Well, I think teams did go after him. I think
we don't know how much
good.
He was asking for it all day.
Well, yeah, he's still good, but this was the fit, like being back in. I mean, being back in New York, coaches from
being at home in Jersey.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good player.
He probably really doesn't take that player. Same deal with some team. You know what I mean? That doesn't have those things to offer him.
Yeah, I guess.
Or the Jets. Player.
Didn't the Jets sign him and then all of a sudden
we were on the air one day and we said it's on the verge. Like there was a story. It's on the verge of happening, and it did not happen.
Came to his senses, Dave. That's what happened.
He's like, wait a minute. That's not where I want to go. I want to be with the Giants. They're going to win four games, be in first place at this point. Brian in the Bronx. Brian, you're next up on 98.7.
Yeah, what's happening, guys? Good morning. Chris.
Good morning, Brian.
Yes, good morning. Chris Canty, why did you have to say what you said about a week and a half ago? I mean,
it's going to happen,
and I'm going to hate it. Colt McCoy is going to end up running that. I mean, no, not Colt. Punk McCoy is going to end up running the damn Giant offense.
I said that?
You never said that.
No, I never said that. I said I don't want to see any parts of Colt McCoy running the Giants offense.
Exactly,
that's what I said.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You spoke it into existence. I've been thinking.
You gonna blame me for that?
Yeah, because you had to speak it out. You had to say out loud what I've been thinking, and I didn't want to say it out loud because I didn't want it to happen. But you said it out loud.
Yo, how you gonna blame me for that? I said I didn't want to see Colt McCoy be the quarterback of the Giants offense because the conversation was around Daniel Jones and whether or not they should bench him to try to send a message, hold him accountable for all the turnovers. That's what it was.
Exactly.
And I said I had no interest in seeing Colt McCoy because I knew how that would end.
Exactly. I don't expect Punk McCoy to do what Nick Foles did for Wentz.
Well, he's not going to do that, but can he lead him to a win at home against maybe Arizona?
Yeah, I wouldn't put those two situations in the same sentence.
I don't think I agree that. I think they're going to Super Bowl run.
The Eagles were an 11-win team when Carson Wentz went down. The Giants have four wins.
All right, thanks, Brian. Can the Giants compete though with Colt McCoy? I guess is the question.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah,
your defense gives them an opportunity to be competitive.
It does.
Colt McCoy make a big throw to win you a game? Who knows?
No, he can't make a big throw to win you a game. They had four first downs and five drives with him as quarterback.
He looked terrible.
And that's the Bengals' defense. Come on, man. Colt McCoy, he's not – listen, I thought it was a great signing for the Giants, but not because the kid would actually play.
How many first downs did Colt McCoy have? Because I'll take that with the Jets. You just can't seem to Oh, a turnover? How about a 3-and-out? We'll hand the ball off to Frank Gore on 4th-and-1. It's blown up in the backfield.
Yeah. That play was that
yeah.
Was
you got you signed Colt McCoy for him to help Daniel Jones. That's why you signed Colt McCoy, not for him to be your guy if Daniel Jones has to
miss
3 or 4 games.
This is the position you're in. Can he keep you within striking distance? Hopefully in this game, and you'd hope so. I think it's unrealistic though, and hopefully the Daniel Jones injury is not that bad that he can come back in a couple weeks.
I mean, that would be the hope, Dave. We'll find out more information when we get on the air tomorrow. We'll know what the situation's going to be. But I just, based on what we saw and how that injury went down and Daniel Jones trying to come back in and then going back out,
it didn't look good.
I don't expect to see him in the next couple of weeks. And even if you do, he's going to be compromised. He's not going to be able to do all of the things that you've seen him do over this three-game winning streak. He's not going to be able to show you the quarterback keep element in the zone read scheme. You're not going to see him getting out on the edge of the defense with run-pass options. That's eliminated from your offense. So, again, how effective is your offense going to be if Daniel Jones is limited from what he can do physically?
Yeah, probably. But he's probably still better than Colt McCoy.
And if it'll be better than Colt McCoy, but is it going to be good enough to beat a team that's over 500? Because you haven't done it all year.
If he didn't turn the football over and the Giants are home against the Browns, you don't give them a chance to win that game with Daniel Jones?
Dave, they haven't beat a team over 500 the entire year. The Browns are 8-3. I don't expect them to win that game, especially if Daniel Jones is compromised or you got to go with Colt McCoy. No. The answer is no. The reality is I probably wouldn't pick the Giants even if Daniel Jones was healthy in those games. But looking at the situation right now, that's probably not going to be the case.
Here's the one thing about that Browns game, though, Dave. I mean, that's coming. That's on the heels of Cleveland playing the Ravens at home.
Correct.
Maybe an emotional letdown, perhaps.
If they beat the Ravens, possible.
Possible. I mean, you saw that happen to Vegas. I mean, Vegas, that was disgusting what they did.
That was brutal yesterday.
Now they're out of the playoffs right now. I hope they don't make the playoffs for that. Let me know.
It's a very loaded AFC.
So bitter, Rico.
That's what he does.
You screwed up your picks. And now
when he realized it can't go in his way, he now wants it to burn down to the ground.
So that's what he wants to see with his Jets, too.
Yes.
Now that it's not going his way, he wants it to burn down to the ground.
Yeah, that's what he wanted from the Giants yesterday when he knew they couldn't cover. Then he wants them to lose. You're evil.
You were just hoping with 1 minute left, can Brandon Allen get it done? Can Brandon Allen lead him on a drive?
Thank God.
In all honesty, too, I wanted to jump through the TV and fight Anthony Lynn, too. Because not did one Hail Mary work, that gets called back. Two work, and you still can't score.
What was that quarterback run, that special quarterback keep? What was that?
Who knows? They didn't spike the ball.
Yeah,
you ran it on first down. What are you doing?
Did you hear he was asked in the post game, why didn't you call a timeout earlier? And what he said? He goes, I don't know.
Dave, he put the kick team on. They thought all of a sudden he was going to kick a field goal. He's like, nah, this isn't going to work. We can't do that.
Hasn't been a great year for Coach Lynn.
He has not had a good year.
Not been a great year. He's still nowhere close in Adam Gase territory, though.
Don't even put them in the same sentence.
That's special. Eddie in Brooklyn. Eddie, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Eddie.
How you doing? I want to ask you guys a couple of questions. First, I'd like to say to Rick, especially, I've been listening to you guys for a long time. Rick, when you were talking about Obi Toppin, I think he should be the agent because you had so much catchphrase for him that I think you get him a lot of commercials, man.
Hey, listen, I'll be his PR guy. I'm free. I'm available.
All right, but my thing is, the question I wanted to ask you was, last week when Flacco was playing, who was calling the plays?
It looked like Gase was calling the plays last week, too.
Adam Gase was calling the plays last week, too?
Well, it depends on what happens. If they work, it's Adam Gase calling the plays. If they don't, it's Dowell Loggins.
I don't know why this has to be so complicated.
I got to the point of I started thinking that Adam Gase is really out to ruin Sam Darnold. I don't know, for some reason, I don't trust that guy.
This is just a byproduct of how bad he is. Because by ruining Sam Darnold, thanks to the phone call, he's ruining himself as well.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing, though. I mean, I think part of what he's saying is there's a little truth to it, too. I mean, you heard Sam after the game. Could you audible out of that call? Like, he still doesn't let the quarterback audible out of calls. Like, you'd have to ask Adam about that. Like, Adam Gase is the best thing, his best quality is somehow deflecting blame to everyone but himself.
He's brilliant at it.
That's where he's a genius, and that's where his real genius lies.
He really is. He is sensational. Video chatting with the family this holiday season. We've got the perfect guest for everyone's virtual gathering, New York Jets quarterback Sam Darnold. It's 98.7 ESPN, Sam and the Fam sweepstakes. Here's how you win. Send us a brief message telling us why Sam should hang with your family for a 30-minute virtual huddle. Send us that message at 987ESPN@gmail.com. That's 987ESPN@gmail.com. Winners will each get a one-of-a-kind experience with friends and family to have a virtual hangout with Sam Darnold. All for your home for the hookup and your home for the hangout. 987ESPN. When we turn these microphones on tomorrow morning, Chris Canty, are we talking about the first place New York Giants?
I hope so, Dave. I absolutely hope so. And, I mean, based on the matchup that we have tonight, you would think that Seattle would take care of business. But we do have inclement weather. There's going to be some rain. We'll see what happens, man. I mean, I want to say Seattle's going to win this game, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Eagles pull an upset.
Yeah, because you're Mr. Misery today, Rick. Are you rooting for Philadelphia in this game?
No, I'm going to give you some confidence, Dave. At this point, it doesn't really matter. If the Giants would have lost, you would have been fun today. But if the Eagles somehow win, you won't even be fun. So no, I think the Seattle Seahawks get it done tonight.
So then we're looking at the 3-8 Cowboys, the 3-7-1 Eagles, the 4-7 football team, and then the 4-7 first place New York Football Giants.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at.
I mean, that would be unbelievable.
And we'll see how long Daniel Jones is going to be out.
Well, here's the thing, and I will say
this.
I'm gonna make excuses. You figured they were gonna lose the game to Seattle anyway, right?
Yeah, but I don't know what I saw yesterday with that hamstring. It didn't feel like it was gonna be like a 1 or 2 week injury.
If this becomes that he misses more than two games, I think you're in real trouble.
What, even if he just misses two games? I mean, you have him back fully or as close to healthy as possible, that home game against Cleveland? I mean, those are the two games you really point to, right?
That's right.
Is that Arizona game?
I think you can win
Cleveland
the Cleveland game if he's healthy, and I think you can win the Dallas game if he's healthy. And that might be all you need.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it feels. I mean, the team that you're really kind of worried about is probably the Washington football team.
Yeah, and they play Pittsburgh this week, so you don't love their chances there.
No,
I mean, Washington and Philly both have winnable games in Week 16 and Week 17. It just so happens that they play each other in Week 17. But I'm just saying, I think Washington has Carolina at home and then Philly, and then Philly has the Cowboys and then Washington.
So go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just saying, you would think that, you know, those two teams have a better chance at being able to win the division than the Giants if Daniel Jones has to miss multiple games.
All right, let's root for a good MRI, and let's root for Mr. Unlimited.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.